Raj, we know, after being around this kind of thing for so many years and so on, that addiction's a disease, you know, regardless of what the substance or behavioral situation you're addicted to. There's no question American Medical Association, and I believe Canada's come on board and declares it to be such. It's a disease. It's not something anybody asked to have, but we have it. Now, aside from that, I noticed Eddie said, you know, he referred to this alcoholic, and that's his reference to himself. And I know he doesn't drink, doesn't do any of that kind of stuff, hasn't done it for quite a number of years, yet he considers himself that way. And I'm not sure if Raj does. Some people are of a different thinking process when it comes to this. I believe that that's the right way, simply because that is the respect and the knowledge and remembrance that this is what it was like, this is what it's like today, I'm not cured, it's one day at a time, you know, it's a disease, it doesn't just go away, I can cope with it, I can do what millions have done before me, and if I do it, and I do it consistently and to the best of my ability, like Raj was saying, he needs a meeting every day, and that's great, many do. Some don't, but many do. Most do, to be honest. And, you know, and that's what works for him, you know, and that's what works for you guys. But that sort of is what's necessary, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we come to grips with the fact that we're involved in a disease that'll take us down unless we're on top of it. But you know, you reference yourself as still as an alcoholic, and that's what it is, isn't it? It's your ability to see that you're always this close, no matter how long it's been or anything else, right?
Because for myself personally, I've been involved in Alcoholics Anonymous for almost 17 years, and I have never gotten over 5 years sobriety. That was my breaking point. I would get to 5 years, I would relapse for the first two times. This is the first time in my life since my new sponsor, Gary, has come into my life, and all the professional help that I've received from doctors and psychotherapists and stuff like that I've been able to stay sober longer than 5 years, and it's been 5 years and 8 months. Mm-hmm. And it's just a great feeling. And I know, you know, like we hear the cliches in the room, your alcoholism is doing push-ups in the parking lot. And either you believe that or you don't. I do believe it. And I know from past experience, because every time I relapse, I either end up in the back of a police car on my way to the psych ward or in a homeless shelter.
Yeah.
So I have to think that way. My program is about life and death.
Yeah.
If I drink, I'm going to die. That's how serious I'm about this.
Yeah, that's great. Great. What about you, Raj? Will you stick with that philosophy? Because I've heard you say on several occasions, I used to be an alcoholic. Does that mean you're not one anymore? Or?
No, I'm always, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic.
Yeah.
That's never going to change the fact. The way I look at it is, because why I say that is, if I have a conversation with a normal person who's not in the program, I'm not going to tell him that I'm alcoholic.
Okay.
Yeah, so because he or she doesn't need to know what my history is.
Yeah.
But when I'm in the rooms of AA, then I introduce myself as an alcoholic.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go up to a stranger or to you and say, Scott, my name is Raj, I'm an alcoholic. I mean, that would sound weird.
Do you really want the job?
It's like that. So I know where I'm supposed to be talking about my sickness and where I'm not supposed to be talking about my sickness.
Yeah.
This is an everyday thing with me. It's going to be there for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. It's not going to go. There is no cure to the sickness, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's something like people call it a stigma. That's fine. I don't care.
Yeah.
But what I think is people who go through the rooms of AA, I think they're more privileged because they come to understand what life is.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes.
Me too.
We get that peace, that serenity when we don't drink.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people outside their program who struggle every day. Even if they have money, they have a house, they have everything, they still struggle with it.
Yeah.
And here this program teaches us to deal with life on a minimum basis and still be happy about it. So
Super.
That's what it is. I mean, so why should I? I mean, if somebody wants to talk about the sickness or wants to know what my program is, I will talk. But otherwise, no. It's not necessary.
You know, it's interesting. In the end, it's like the art of letting go of control, really, is what we aim for, so that we don't have to feel that we got to be in control all the time. But there's an acceptance side, too. It's Raj is saying that to accept that I am who I am and, I'm dealing with a disease that's, for all intents and purposes, incurable. You know, and that disease is out-and-out addiction. And, whether people walk around, and we're joking, of course, and announcing their addictions or not is really, in a way, it's immaterial, but totally understandable for anybody who's looking for a job or something, because there's so much stigma still between mental illness and addiction and recovery. Brutal. The stigma is horrible. Eddie, go ahead. You got something to say?
Yeah, but I agree. When it comes to jobs and certain people, you do not talk about it. But you're talking about jobs, and there's one thing that I have learned is that there are jobs out there called lived experience that are starting to pop up a lot more. Lived experience positions have been around for about 20 years, but they haven't really been known that much. Mm-hmm. And lived experience job is a job that where people base their experience, like for instance, a peer support worker. If you have addiction problems, mental health problems, you've been chronically homeless, mm-hmm. you have abuse issues, things of those natures. So I just wanted to say that there are certain types of positions out there for lived experience type of work. And I'm assuming that when I go to the interview, I'll be talking about my education, I'll be talking about my work experience, but I'll also be talking about my life experience. And that's what I'm really looking forward to and really, really engaged in.
Yeah. And that peer support is a wonderful thing. I've seen that in action in a couple of places. And one was with borderline personality disorder, as a matter of fact. And, and the people that were working in a peer support manner, you know, those with borderline personality who had been able through coping mechanisms and different therapies to live with and to be productive in life, and now be able to come and share and to listen to others with the same kind of illness in order to be of great support. And we all know that the best support you get are from those who experience what you experience.
Who can understand and relate.
Exactly, yeah. So, in the end, and one of the things, Eddie, I mentioned to you a little earlier, we want to keep this show a reality show. That's not the right word out there. But a show that's real, in that it's real, it's real time, and we deal with life as it comes. A couple days ago, you were in a different situation than you are right now. Can you? And, I mean, that's a real live thing, and you mentioned on the way up here in the car about, it was just one of those really rough things, and, now I feel great. So maybe give us a little bit of something that can happen in the life of an addict or a recovering alcoholic or whatever you consider yourself to be.
Yeah, it's amazing, what my higher power can do. Like a day and a half ago, I was discontent, frustrated, angry, grumpy. I was worried about my finances, worried about a job. So I basically, did my step work, and that didn't get me out of the funk. Then I prayed, and that didn't get me out of the funk. So then I just sat in my room, and I just said, to my higher power, I got mad at my higher power. And then, like, 24 hours later, I get a job interview, and my finances are under control.
Yeah.
That's not me.
Yeah.
What did I do differently? There's only one thing I did differently from what day are we in? We're in Tuesday, so what I did Sunday versus what I did Monday. All I did was pray and talk to my higher power, and it looked after me. And you have to believe in that. I mean, like, I came, like I said before, from an atheistic background. I didn't believe in anything like that. And now I believe in it. It's just, it's not just coincidental. Things like that, I believe, happen for a reason. And I believe my recovery and the hardships that I've been through and the frustration periods that I've been through, I believe that my higher power is testing me. And if I pass the test, then I get rewarded. It may not be rewarded in exactly what I want. Sometimes it is. I may not be rewarded immediately. I may get something down the road 3 months, 6 months, 5 years down the road. But I will be rewarded as long as I am an honest, sincere, dedicated, loving person.
Worker of the program, I hear you, and I agree with you totally. Spiritual connection, Raj, what's your take on that? I mean, we know our programs, the whole philosophy is based on, having a spiritual attachment or connection or relationship. And I've watched many people in the last 25 years who have had everything, but they didn't have that, and they failed, you know. And really smart people, sometimes the smarter, the harder it is for them to accept that they're powerless and need some kind of connection like that. So, and doesn't matter how you work it, doesn't matter what you call that higher power. In my opinion, I mean, I have my own way, and for me, that's the way it is. But I see others, and as long as they accept that there's something, you know, like our second step says, and they start communicating somehow with that something, life changes, and it changes dramatically over time. So where are you at in that, Raj? I've seen you in churches. I've seen you outside churches. And I'm not asking you whether you go to one or not. It's none of my business, but how important is that aspect of your program?
It is a very important aspect of my program today because when I had my relapse in October last year, it was like having to go back to the drawing board, wipe everything clean, and find out what's going wrong, because I've been going through a sequence where I would just stay sober for 5 months, 6 months, and then slip. It's mainly because of acceptance, what you mentioned earlier on, and letting go. I was not ready to accept God the way I wanted Him to accept me. I wanted to hold on to stuff that I thought that defined me the way I am. It was complete let go and let Him take over my program. That's all that was actually needed. Once I was able to do that, I started to find peace and serenity, and my sobriety, my program started, my recovery started moving on. It's been six, seven months, but I know it feels a lot, but it has been solid 6 to 7 months. Something that I haven't experienced for a long, long time. Even, for example, I was starting to be a PSW. And 3 weeks back, I was told that I cannot continue studying because I have a record. And once I'm pardoned, only then I can go back to school. So I was forced to leave school, and that was a big blow to me. Now, what would I have done if I didn't have this program or if I didn't have God in my life? I would have surely gone back out drinking. I would have gone back to my old self, isolated myself, stayed in my room, drank myself, and blamed everybody but myself for it. Because if the record is on me, it's about me, it's on my name, whose fault is it? You didn't put it in my name. Somebody else didn't put it. I did it to myself. So what's the point blaming anyone else? I took it on and I said, okay, fine. I have to leave the course, I left the course. Yeah, it does hurt. I mean, because here I was trying to do something different to my life, and it know about. But the funny part was that right from the time that I joined this course, there's always a conflict going on. It's like God telling me, no, this is not your cup of tea. And I was going through a lot of health problems when I was doing this course. Now, the funny thing is, once I stopped it, everything is gone. So, I don't know.
So, you're left with a life of leisure.
Yeah. So, God said, maybe go enjoy yourself, my son. I will find you money from somewhere. I said, fine. I said, okay, fine. So, I feel better now. And that's what it is. Because I'm going to say something. In recovery, there is two aspects. You have the spiritual part. And then you have the logical part. The logical part is where you find your sponsor, you study your big book, and you go to the meetings. you cannot complete recovery without one of the two. Yep. If one of the aspects is missing, you might have sobriety for 5-6 years, or you might have sobriety for 5-6 months or 10 years, but you are going to be a stark raving drunk, not understanding what the program is. I have seen this happen, and I'm one of those examples where I've gone through 5-6 months, 7 months, and realized, because there's always something missing. It was one of the aspects that always I had the spiritual part, but I didn't have AA. I had AA, I didn't have the spiritual part. So you have to have both to really progress one day at a time.
Sounds good, Raj. I think you're doing it. Let me ask you guys very quickly. We'll probably end the show on this topic, but forgiveness, a huge aspect, obviously, you know. And are we up to date on that?
Well, you know, there's a saying, hurt people hurt people. And forgiveness is something that I'm a lot better at than what I was before. I've been taken to the bank a couple of times in my life, and that has hurt. Whether it be emotionally taken to the bank or financially taken to the bank. But when it comes down to forgiveness for this alcoholic, is when I was out using and drinking and cheating and stealing and lying, you know, people forgave me. Sometimes I have to wait a couple of years to get forgiveness and work my program and do an amend and so forth before they accept me. But, whatever happens, happens now. You know, I look at it very simply. I used to use people, hurt people, not trust people, steal, lie, and cheat, and people forgave me. If I can't be the honorable, decent human being and do the same, then I'm not working Ed's program. You may have a different view, but I'm not working Ed's program. It's that simple for me. Forgive and forget.
Yeah. Right on. Well, you, Raj, you've forgiven everybody, or at least made the decision to. Whether I'm not talking about feelings here. That's another station. But you know, have you made that decision in your mind to forgive everybody or everyone? Anyway, where are you at on that?
I have forgiven everyone, because it's not for me to hold on to stuff. The best way is I leave it to God. Let him decide what he wants to do with it, and I tell him, this is what I'm off, what I'm putting out for you. I'm not going to be taking part of any of this forgiveness part, in the sense, like, how do I put it? It's let go, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's already mentioned in the Bible, even in the program, it says you're already forgiven for your transgressions or your addiction. So for that aspect, I'm good. When it comes to me forgiving someone, I don't want to hold a grudge. Yeah, I mean, it's not worth it. People want to forgive me, that's up to them.
Yeah.
I can't force their hand. And I try and, you know, maintain a positive attitude. Sometimes, yes, I do hate people. That goes without saying. I mean, I'm a human being. But I try and keep it positive, because that's what the program has taught me, and that's what the Bible says. You have to love everyone, love your neighbor, thy yourself.
Yeah, that's
absolutely.
Right. Neighbors, everybody.
Yeah.
You know, it boils down to this, the art of letting go. If we learn that, you know, if we can truly do everything, and for me, that's kind of the substance of life meditation, if you will, just, you know, that I like to relate lately to, you know, to a little fast-moving, you know, meandering, windy stream where there's a whole bunch of little boats going along. And, you know, if we label our thoughts, or see our thoughts, rather, as those little boats, and if we handle our thoughts that way, we'll be living that meditative lifestyle all the time, because it's only when we, you know, thoughts just come and they go. But what most people say is, no, it's always there. No, it's not always there. It comes, it'll go by, it might come back, but it always goes. It's because we stop the thought and start to you know, mull it over. You know, you would grab that little boat and you basically, while we're holding onto the boat, we're messing up a whole bunch of the rest of the stream. And eventually, if we grab a few things, you know, first of all, we get fragmented, you know, so our mind's trying to solve a whole bunch of problems, and we're also damming up our stream. So now all of our thoughts are coming at once, and we're building a huge barrier, and, you know, and we gotta have resentment, you know, because we can't control it, and it's obvious. We got a whole bunch of things now, and, you know, and I've messed up the whole stream. It's barricaded. The water's not going. Nothing works. And if we let it go, and bit by bit, it'll all straighten out. The stream will look exactly like it was. The boats won't all be bunched up. They'll be kind of meandering along the stream. And I think that's the secret to life. You know, we do that with our bodies. We go and work the heck out of them. We push them left, right, and center so that we can just let them go after, relax and let them go. Yet with our minds, what we try and do is grab stuff, think about it, put it in categories, put it in corners, put it in boxes, and, you know, we work toward a perfection that we don't even need to do. Just let everything go. Just let it go, let it go, let it go. So with the art of letting go, I think we can say goodbye to our audience here and let us go before I get in trouble for going over after I was warned so well earlier. Gentlemen, thank you. Any parting words?
You're most welcome, Scott, and thank you for having us on the show.
Yeah.
I hope I can come back and share my life.
Yeah. You have to keep coming back.
Yeah, keep coming back, yes. Life is like a glass of spilled milk. You clean it, fill the glass, and drink the milk. That's it.
Yeah, thank you very much, Scott. I thoroughly enjoyed doing this. I've been on so many times now. It's just a big part. It's helping me with my career. So
super.
I'm just astounded by it. I love it.
Thank you both. You're an ongoing part of recovery. You're part of my recovery of life, as is Jason, our producer over here. And I thank all you gentlemen. You're a huge part of my life. And with that, I'm going to be on time with 3 seconds. See you next week. Thanks all for listening to Sharing the Burden live on 102.9 FM here in Stouffville. Please go to sharingtheburden.ca for this and previous broadcasts. Hope you enjoyed the show and hope you will share it online. Till we meet again, this is Scott saying, have a great day.